Hello, folks. Welcome back to Movies and Memories with Red and Hannah. This is episode 13. And Hannah, it's been a minute. How are you?
I'm good. Red, it's been a long time. How are you?
I'm
Are you sure it's 13?
I think so. It's episode 13.
Okay, lucky number 13 then.
Right? Fucking A. We've been planning this comeback for a while now. I think 2 months. And we keep getting delayed because life keeps getting in the fucking way, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I missed you. I missed this.
I miss you too, man. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. So this, for our folks, we are doing Garden State by Zach Braff, 2004 film. It's an indie film, and we love it. Hannah, what's the film about?
Zach Braff. If you know him from Scrubs, which we were talking about, like, there wasn't really much else that we recognize him in, unfortunately. But this is basically his movie. He directed it, wrote it, and it's sort of semi-biographical. And it's about a struggling actor played by himself who's lives in LA trying to make ends meet and find work as an actor. And he has to go home to New Jersey, which is Garden State. And it's because his mother just died and he needs to attend the funeral. And it's about his homecoming, basically. I'm not really sure how long he had been away, but he goes home and is trying to, like, reconnect to his hometown where he grew up and sees friends again, sees his dad, who he doesn't have the best relationship with. And he's a kind of desensitized guy who has a hard time connecting and having, like, emotional or, like, expressing his emotions well. And he meets a girl named Sam who also has her own issues and spends the next 4 days back in his hometown. And it's a really cute, like, adventure kind of story in a span of 4 days and him kind of reconciling with his hometown, which I'm glad he does at the very, very, very end.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anything you want to add to that?
No, that's pretty good. That's very well done. Hey, so let me see. 2004. I have some notes ready for this. Okay.
Go.
Well, it's too early for the research part, but did you know that this film was actually, it's an indie film? It was privately funded by one guy. Just one guy funded the whole film. And it was in an interview for his Kickstarter campaign for his debut movie, I Wish I Was Here or something. He said that only one person funded the whole film, and this guy was actually a fan of Scrubs. So I'm like, yeah, I want to help you with your film. So yeah, there you go. That's a cool little tidbit. The original budget was like, what, $2.5 million?
And it grossed
$35 million. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I know his last name was Gilbert, and it was just like he had just gotten into stocks or something. That's how he, like, made his money, and I think he just wanted to get into movies, and so he offered to help Zach Braff out.
That's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. So, like, his whole directorial process is, like, you know, he doesn't want big companies to, like, dictate how the movie turns out, because he... As we see in his movies, like his first two movies, he likes casting his friends. In his sequel movie, he cast that guy from Scrubs, the Donald Faisal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in there too, and so was Jim Parsons, who was also in Garden State. So I think they're very close buddies. Huh? That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
I think Big Bang Theory and Scrubs had, like, the same studio, maybe. Was it CBS?
Really?
Yeah.
CBS.
So that makes sense why they would... I think so.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Sure. Yeah. It's just such an oddball collection of characters. Eh? Jim Parsons, I never thought he would be close with Zach Braff. But, hey. All right. So, what themes do you think are being explored here? We've gone over this earlier, but yeah. What themes do you think are there?
Well, for me, it was mostly homecoming and, you know, like, reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole looming specter of, like, mental health there, too, huh?
Yes, like drug use.
Fucking drug use, man. A lot of drugs.
Prescription drug use. It's crazy.
There was an ecstasy scene, though. And you saw how desensitized he was to it? Like,
Yeah.
That was me in a party. I think Zach Braff, yeah, that's why I relate to him in a certain way. Because I'm like, yeah, when in parties, you just sit there and look at other people have fun. I don't know, especially when drugged out or, like, you know, stoned. Yeah, how are you in parties?
It's really weird because I think I can be both ends of the spectrum, but I'm very, like, I'm very influenced by my surroundings.
Yeah.
So if I'm around the people who are, like, oh, but I'm the opposite of my surroundings. So if I'm around people who are like, oh my God, let's go party and like go crazy, I'm like turned off and I don't want to be like that. So I mellow out. And then I look for the people who are mellow. And then if they get too boring for me at a certain point, then I kind of go, it really it depends on my mood. Like for like the school parties back in Silliman, I had to like, I had to hype myself out in advance to put myself in the mindset that I want to be in a good mood. I want to be like attracting like positive, you know, energy. Like I want to have fun. I don't want to be a downer. Cause if I don't like mentally prepare myself, I could just be like total downer. And all I'll do is drink, which is such it's a depressive. Or just smoke weed the whole night. And I don't know, it works out at the end, but
I think that's the thing with marijuana, though, because, you know, it elevates whatever mood you feel. So coming into it with the right energy is always a good idea. Yeah. Hyping yourself up, I feel that. Like, you got to make sure your social battery is fully charged, right? I remember
good
Xander.
Times.
Good times. We have this good friend, Xander, our common friend. Like, he's always so high energy. And as much as I love the guy, after every party or night out with him, you feel so depleted because you're right. You're trying to stay at this level and you just can't, man. You're just so all out all the fucking time. That's what we love about him, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I can't but not be the opposite because you see them there and you're just like, it doesn't add up, though. So you kind of have to like balance them out. You want to try and like be neutral to everybody.
Exactly.
So you're not too over the top and you're not too mellow. So
At this point in your life, do you think when you attend parties like that, are you still the same or have you matured so much that you know how to like ration your energy?
I have to hype myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like especially if, like I'm trying to think the last party I've been to, which probably was at a friend's house. It was like a New Year's or so. Yeah, it was New Year's. And I know going in there that I would only know about two other people that she wouldn't know. And she's a very social girl. She has a lot of friends and stuff. Literally have to like hype myself out, like pregame a little bit, just so when I'm in the mood to socialize and be likable. Because otherwise, I after an hour.
Yeah. Pre-gaming, yeah, you got to do that. Right? Oh, man. And we saw this movie around the same time they're at? No. How old are you right now? You don't mind me asking?
I'm turning 29 next week.
Ooh, look at you. Happy birthday. Well, so, Anna, what is your favorite scene from the film?
It would have to be the ending, because
really?
Not the ending. Okay, well, maybe like what it leads up to. So the friend Mark, forgot to mention about this, about how he discovers when he's like reconnecting with some of his friends from high school, is his friend Mark, played by Sarsgaard.
Peter Sarsgaard,
is a grave digger and grave robber on the side and pawns everything. And I like how he's like, yo, you need to come with me. I need to give you your present. And they go on this whole adventure. And we find out later that all they're trying to do, they go meet up with this guy who like secretly films hotel porn or something.
Porn.
And they go to some quarry and meet a family that lives there. And they're actually really adorable.
They live
on a boat too. That's so random. And you find out at the end, like, the whole reason he had him come along, and he's a little bit of a, like, a distant guy. He seems a little hardened because of his life, having stayed there. And you find out that he had stolen a necklace from
his mom,
from Andrew's mom, and that she really treasured, and he had pawned it and sold it. So he was like, what he was doing was he was trying to track it down, and he gave it to him as a goodbye present, and I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah, a little sweet. Yeah.
I thought that was
well, he
so
never
sweet.
Should have done it in the first place, but you know.
I definitely, but he made up for it.
That's
made up for it. It just reminds me a little bit, because I do, like, 50-50, my friends have stayed in our home respective hometowns, and the other half left. And it's always interesting to see the ones who stay behind do have a tendency to become a little bitter if they don't, like, especially do well. And they like to compare themselves, and I always feel... I don't know why, but maybe guilty or something, because they do envy you, and it shows. And even though you're like, you know, you can leave if you really want to, right? You can leave, or maybe they had left and then it didn't work out, so they had to come home, or something happened where they had to stay home. Like, one of my friend's moms got sick, so they had to stay home. And I do feel bad.
Hey, that's your friends in Vienna, right?
Both.
Both, okay, yeah. Because I think it's not the same in the Philippines, In the Philippines, it's a lot more different, though. Because, you know, school is expensive, so you actually have to pay for it. Not a lot of scholarships on, not a lot of free universities. So, yeah, I think for my friends who actually stayed in my hometown, it's because they didn't have a choice. It just wasn't in the cards for them.
That's also what I mean. So, a lot of them, like, just didn't have the means to, or didn't. Couldn't find a way to, or couldn't get themselves to, if they had really, really wanted it. And a lot of them end up having FOMO, get a little bitter, avoid certain friends because they don't want to. And it's interesting, because I think also, like, when you do go home, I don't know about you, but because, like, I want to catch up on everybody also, I feel like maybe secretly for some people when they do that, it's to try and compare to see how far you go, how far. And especially... toxic, honestly, from Filipino parents. They want to make sure that their kid is doing better
than Tita Marites.
Did you hear about your cousin or your your friend from college, from high school, and and this, like, my mom does it all the time, because the parents from my school in Vienna and her, they, a lot of them work at the same place. So we're allowed to catch up. Like, I actually found out that one of my classmates from second grade passed away a couple years ago, and like, I would have never learned that unless she knew the aunt of the guy who happened to be a patient of hers or something. So I don't know,
parents just live through their kids, you know. It just happens. It's just what they do, just what moms do.
Oh, but there was something I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
But I forgot. Gosh.
It's okay. So yeah, he'll come back to you later. So, yeah, my favorite scene, I think we discussed this earlier too, it just has to be that, the first meet cute of, you know, Sam and Andrew, the you know, where the dog comes his leg and all that shit. It's funny, but I think what really resonated to me was the character of Sam, because he reminds me of someone we know, Xander. We have this one friend who always recommends music, and it is in my favorite scene. It's the it's a very popular Shin scene, the Shins. Oh, what are you listening to? What's the Shins? Oh, this is, listen to this song, it will change your life. And yeah, we have a common friend, and he's just that. And we love those people. People who are so generous about their, and not in a cocky way, not the one to shove it down your throat, but they sincerely believe that it's something that would change your life. And yeah, it did, for the most part. Like, Xander's recommendations, I still listen to them. So thank you. That's my favorite scene. It's a cool scene. And did you you listen to the Deftones, right? Deftones?
Yeah.
Are you, okay.
Recommended by Xander. That's mostly
recommended by Xander too. There's this whole movement on YouTube, and I think in social media or whatever, like Gen Zers, they're starting to discover Deftones, and they think it's like classic music or whatever, but it's such a cool tribute to Death Notes, like this one scene especially, like when Sam passes him the headphones and sex tape plays. It's really cool. I'll send you the link later. There's a whole thing on YouTube where you look, listening to Death Notes got me like, you know, that statement alone just says Gen Z, right? But yeah. So there's a couple of videos about it. It's so funny and so cool at the same time. And if anything, it's great for Deftones. These younger kids are discovering this awesome band. And they're so cool. I love that band so much. You know, new metal. All right. Observations. So I have like 18 points here. So I'm going to have...
Oh, go ahead. Go crazy.
Yeah. Okay, one. All right, Hannah. So now we're going to go into observations or research about the film. So what do you have right now?
Well, one of the main things that is underlying in the movie is about how he was kind of over-prescribed, or I would say he was just straight up probably wrongfully diagnosed. I don't know what the technical term is.
Yeah, because his father was a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah.
He was trying to mask his inability to connect with his son. By, like,
yeah.
You know, drugging.
And in the Philippines, I don't think that's a real thing. But
no.
Especially here in the States, I don't know about Canada. Europe, I feel like they try to solve everything.
Mental health issues. Yeah.
Maybe. I would definitely say for sure. I mean, there's a whole epidemic about that, too. Opioids, even. And they try to solve everything with pills instead of really like dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real thing. I got really into, I follow this like, they're very like into natural, not super hippie, but like into like natural everything, especially about like birth and pregnancy. And like statistically, it's crazy how a lot of people go straight to a C-section, like schedule a C-section, even though that is supposed to be like
be the last
resort,
option.
Right? Like stuff like that's just one example, and it saddens me more than anything because it shows how like maybe our evolution has really kept people from like dealing with stuff,
right?
Really, like
I
don't know. It's just really sad.
I guess because it's more painless, so it's an easier method, I guess. People don't want to deal with pain to a degree like that, like avoiding pain as much as they can, pills or whatever. You know, it's unfortunate. Okay. All right. Okay, so I have a few things here. I have 17 points, actually. I'll just cram it. Okay, so did you notice in the first part, new applicants at the restaurant, like, oh, this guy from Minnesota, did you notice that he was actually holding a headshot? Is that a thing in L.A.? Like,
no, that's what you're supposed to do when you audition. You have to give a headshot so they know what you look like.
No, it was for a Vietnamese restaurant, remember?
I'm sure he was recycling his CV.
Maybe. But I just found that funny.
And, of
like
course,
a
you're
a
struggling
a
actor.
Yeah, you know, you just want to submit anywhere, right? Get a job anywhere, develop your career. Okay.
Because maybe they'll hire you for your looks.
Maybe. Maybe that could help too.
Yeah.
A Vietnamese restaurant, he was holding up a white guy's face. there's an underlying tone of racism there. No,
yeah.
Right.
Or if you're Asian, plus points because like you can really sell it.
Yeah. Here's another thing. When Andrew was in the washroom, you didn't notice when he walked past the faucets, he started turning on and off, on. Like, you know, they're like sensor activated by touch. I think there's this like message of his innate sensitivity or his being an empath or whatever that was just being dulled by the drugs that he was taking. I don't know. I noticed that back then. I'm like, oh shit, okay. That's a little cool little thing. Okay.
I thought they were just broken.
Maybe. At the same time, all of them? I don't know. It was a cool shot though. He was approaching the camera.
Yeah.
Walking past all these faucets and they start turning on. Okay, Mark, played by Peter Sarsgaard, is married to. He's not related to the popular Sarsgaards like Alex.
No,
and,
he's Sarsgaard, not Skarsgård.
Yeah, there you go. Yes,
okay.
He's a Sarsgaard.
That's also Swedish.
Yeah, also Swedish. Because at first I'm like, oh, okay. Is he related to Tarzan and you know and. In it, but he's not. He's actually married to Maggie Gyllenhaal, so he's more related to Jake Gyllenhaal than he is to the other two guys. Anyway,
cool.
from the Vietnamese restaurant, I'm like, what's a kettle Cosmo? What's a kettle Red Bull? Apparently, it's a cocktail. And it's one of the most dangerous cocktails to mix because it's a downer and an upper. So Red Bull and vodka, when you mix it together, it's so bad for you. And there's a whole study published by the Journal of Psychiatric Research where it says that this Cosmo Red Bull cocktail is scientifically proven to cause fights.
That's so crazy.
It increases your tendencies for violent acts. Mm-mm. And it's fact. I don't know. I just found that really
cool. Do you know where Red Bull is from?
Vienna? No.
Well, it's from Austria. The guy who started it is from Austria, but the recipe is like Thai or Japanese.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was never allowed to drink Red Bull because of the Thai... You've never had it? Okay.
No.
Well, I've had it, but I wasn't allowed because of the crazy amount of caffeine in it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a super Holy energy
shit.
Drink. So yeah. Kettle as in Kettle One Vodka.
Kettle One
I didn't
vodka,
catch
yeah.
that. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's... Vodka Red Bull is a really popular...
Drink?
Combo.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Okay. So did
not
you see any fights? That's not good for you. I don't think it would be. Your poor liver, you know? Okay. So the movie has funny moments, but retains serious tone throughout. There's an overshadowing aspect of drug use and over-medication and all that stuff. And, okay, let's skip through that. All right. Well, no, the one thing that really stuck out to me was his, like, at the party when he was given ecstasy, like, he wasn't responding the way you'd expect or the popular notion of a person's reaction to ecstasy is. Like, you know, all sensual and all that bullshit.
How are you?
I've never had ecstasy.
Is MDMA the same thing?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know. Have you had
it's
ecstasy?
An upper. Yeah, yeah. Parties. But again, I have to be in the context of where
okay.
I would enjoy it.
Because,
so
you know,
it's like, it's the hype up. You know,
I think it overstimulates your nerve endings. I think that's what happens. Like, you're so sensitive to touch, or at least
yeah,
that's what
yeah,
my understanding
does.
Is from film.
It does.
And he's just sitting there, all just like, you know, pretty stoic still, given how high he was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just found that, I don't know, it stood out to me. And we've discussed that it grossed $35 million. But the best part is the movie won a Grammy for Best Soundtrack Album in 2005. I still listen to the fucking album, man. When I'm driving around, it's a go-to album. I don't know why. It's just
I mean,
that,
I get why, but yeah.
I mean, have you listened to the whole soundtrack?
No, I haven't. But I remember reading about how it won a Grammy, watching the movie. Honestly, not one song really stuck out to me. Maybe during the film, but like right now, I can't tell you one. Because I think in my head, I thought it was written... For like it was a soundtrack that was composed in my head. That's what I was like, that's how smooth it was. I thought like, oh, it was a soundtrack for the film, not like an individual song maybe. And it's just super New Jersey, it's super Garden State-y.
<Yeah. laughs> it's befitting of the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Does New Jersey actually look like that though? I've never been, so.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, shit, okay.
I've been to New Jersey a couple of times, mostly because my godmother is from there. And
okay.
The few times, most of the times that I had visited the States before living here, a lot of it was in New Jersey.
Oh, shit,
and
okay.
It's like the state that most people make fun of.
It's
just a
like
joke.
It's
the butt of all
the jokes.
It's
not New York, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
But, yeah, but it is like... It is how it's depicted in the movie, kind of like has hills, has a lot of grass, and everyone's kind of just like homey, not country, not city. And I don't know, it's boring, I guess, for most people, but it has this calming sense to also.
Yeah.
So I would recommend you going there if you want something less bustle and city and urban. But
because
yeah,
what
there's
I've
a lot
gathered...
of stuff there.
Because what I've gathered from like popular media, especially like How I Met Your Mother, like they always look down at like New Jersey, right? From that show and from Joey Diaz, another comedian that I follow, I've formed this notion in my mind that New Jersey's a rough version of New York, that it's all just like, you know, it's all like rednecks, an Eastern version of a redneck. I don't know.
Maybe just because of the Guidos from like Jersey Shore.
Probably.
Maybe that's what gave it its like
Oh yeah,
worst
Jersey Shore.
reputation.
Right. That's why. That's where it's
Jersey
from.
Shore. I don't know. It's
What's the
really
name of the
fun.
girl again? The tiny girl that's so popular?
Snooki.
Snooki. I don't know her, but I hate her for some reason. I don't know.
Is
So
it Italian
annoying.
Americans? A lot of them are in Jersey, I guess. It's funny
Yeah.
too because in Domaguete, I went when I came back just to visit. I met some American guy who was there like vacationing. He was trying to hit on one of my friends, and we got to talking. He was saying, "Yeah, I'm from the States." I'm like, "Oh, great! Like where?" And he's like, "From New Jersey." I was like, "Oh," but
Me too.
he acknowledged it. It's like, I know it's so funny, like. Everyone I meet, even people who maybe haven't been there, they know like to make fun of New Jersey. Like of all the states, not even like, you know, the ones in the Midwest that everyone makes fun of for being like, you know,
Yeah.
rednecks or something. New Jersey's the one that everyone makes fun of.
When I think when I hear New Jersey, I think of Guy Fieri for some reason. Is he from there? I don't think so.
He is.
He is? Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's just
I
a
like
physical
his show.
embodiment. Dives, burgers, and
We
something.
watch it
Yes,
all
the
the
show.
time.
I love that show for the food.
Diners, no, di
Diners,
diners,
burgers, and
something.
dives. Yeah.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
There you go. It's
Yeah,
a fun
love
show.
it.
Makes me hungry. All deep fried shit, you know?
It's all like home kind of cooking and soul food
Soul
and comfort
food.
food. Comfort food is the main thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway,
Okay, here,
Joyzy.
Joyzy. Here's another observation. The sophomore movie, which I was here, was funded through Kickstarter, so it's a little cool. He cast his good friends Jim Parsons and Noah Fyfe. We've discussed that earlier. Now, you remember his father, Ian Holm? Where do you remember him from?
I have to look at him. What was his name?
Can I spoil?
Yeah, go.
He's Bilbo Baggins. Lord of the Rings. Oh, you're not a fan.
Oh, yes.
You're not a
Sorry.
fan. Okay, yeah, right. I remember. You're not a big Lord of the Rings fan.
It was not for me. I mean,
Yes,
my
I
husband's trying to
understand.
get me to watch it with him, but I was like, I'd have to
How
have
about
a Red
this?
Bull to watch through the whole thing in one sitting.
How about this? You remember the movie Ratatouille?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, he's Chef Skinner there. He plays
Oh,
Chef Skinner, yeah, so.
interesting.
Yeah. And another cool thing about Ian Holm is he played Bilbo in Lord of the Rings in the movie. But when he was younger, he actually played Frodo Baggins in the BBC adaptation of Lord of the Rings. I found
Oh.
that kind of cool, so, you know, from Frodo to Bilbo. Anyway.
He unfortunately passed already.
Yeah. He's a good
Oh.
actor. I love him as Bilbo. And another scene that stuck out to me during my rewatch last night was that, you know, where he met Kenny? You're a cop, Kenny? I know. Why though? I don't know. Can think of anything better to do. Which is a sad analogy of like how the police force is, like just a bunch of people who don't know anything better to do. Like, yeah, let's go police.
Yeah, I feel like it's like you might as well.
Might as well.
If you're gonna be home and you can do it, you might as well. I feel like that's the one of the jobs that it's like if you're gonna stay in your hometown, that's
Exactly.
like your go-to career choice.
Like a lot of my friends who still stay in my hometown are cops. So yeah.
There was one actor that I'm pretty sure, like I don't know if I have the movies mixed up, but I think Rachel Green's dad in Friends, who was a doctor, is the doctor, the psychiatrist that he goes to, that Andrew goes to, and who was like really open about everything and
Oh,
basically
yeah.
told him
You
that I don't think you need it, there's nothing wrong with you, why you getting headaches
need
and
a new
all.
psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, shit. Okay, that was him. All right.
I don't remember his name, but I just remember him because he was also a doctor, Dr. Green. Well, then he was a doctor in this movie, and he's recognizable because of his glasses.
Oh.
And he is the husband of Archer's mom's voice, but
Oh,
she
okay.
passed away also. So
Some
I know them
actors
by their faces, but the names, I'm always so bad with the names.
are just pigeonholed into certain roles, right? Like
Yeah,
doctor forever. Oh, you know that Hector guy from all of the Latino guy? He plays Hector in all of his movies. Like you know him.
Ooh.
You've seen him.
Is he in Ant-Man?
No, not
Who's
him. Not
Hector?
him. Hector. He's a Latino actor. He's in all the this guy. He plays the same character in all his films.
Oh, really? I feel
Yes.
bad for actors who are kind of just, that's what I was talking about the other day, that there's so many movies and I'm like, is this like a sequel or are these in the same universe? Because they just basically play the same person over and over
Yeah.
again, maybe a different name.
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever.
They're just pigeonholed to that. It's
Yeah,
funny.
yeah. There's a term for that. Typecast.
Typecasted, yeah. It's hard to get
Which,
away from it. Oh, here's
like,
another
either
thing.
own it or don't. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in your computer, try Googling silent Velcro. Just look it up.
Is it a real thing?
Just look it up. Did you search it on Google?
Oh, on Google. Sorry, I don't
Yes,
use
Google.
Google, but okay.
Because when I did a search earlier, the sixth link was when you Google silent Velcro, the sixth suggestion
You
is
know,
what happened to Zach? What happened to
it's
Zach
different,
Braff?
right? One, two,
Oh,
three.
is it?
Isn't it different where you're from? So, okay, the sixth you said.
The sixth one? What
One,
did it say?
two, three, four, five, six. How to open Velcro quietly. Five easy ninja hacks.
Okay, so I guess it factors in your search history.
Or
Because I
where
was
I
looking
am.
at, yeah, because when I was looking at, before I looked at Silent Velcro, I was looking at Garden State. So la, I was like researching stuff, and it's like Silent Velcro. The sixth suggestion was Zach Braff. What happened to Zach Braff? But yeah, I thought they were just tied together, but no, it's just Google and their algorithm. All right. One line that really stuck out to me too was remember Peter Sarsgaard's when his mom was rushing him about buying properties and shit, and he said, "I'm only 26. I'm not in any rush. What's your rush?" Like, 26 was back when I was 26. I actually thought I was old. But now that I'm 32, I'm like, holy shit, what was I in a rush for? I was only 26.
That's so
Crazy,
true.
right? When
Yeah.
yeah, but holy, you'll never be as young as you are right now. So. Just try to enjoy it. Like, no one has their shit figured out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I felt for him because his friend was like dating his mom, and that's just so awkward. And Jim
Mom's dating
Parsons was
a knight.
basically a nerd,
Yeah.
but not like Big Bang Theory nerd,
No.
who spoke Klingon
And he had like PhDs and
he
shit.
wasn't
This
like
guy
a
was more.
genius genius, and then this
Yeah,
guy's
this
just
guy was just a
like.
loser. He's a fake knight. All right, so I think that's all that I have. Do you have any other suggestions?
Some trivia
Some trivia for the film.
about the movie.
Well, how about the
Oh,
Manic Pixie Dream Girl? Like, this actually set the template for the Manic Pixie
well,
Dream Girl.
speaking of Natalie Portman, she
Portman.
was the only person he thought of
Yeah, for
to
this role.
cast as for
Nice.
it, and he wasn't sure if he could get her, but
But hey, he took a
she said
gamble, paid
yeah.
off. Yeah.
I think it works. I
Yeah, it
like her in
works.
it.
She's cute and adorable.
She
But
was
you
cute and
know.
she wasn't, she's
Perfect.
cute and she's not like a bombshell, you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
One thing I like about her, because she has her own imperfections and she owns it. But she knows she lies a lot, you know. And
Yeah.
but so much of it was just too cliche. Like, she who has a hamster puzzle or maze going around their house? Like, some of it I think was just overdone. I think.
Maybe, but I think that was her whole point. Like, she wants to do stuff that no one else would ever do. And she was like, she owned being very unique
Yeah,
in
dancing and
that.
all that shit. Yeah,
Yeah.
I hated that scene. Like, oh, so cringe.
Yeah. That's
You
true.
know.
I would just hate to be her mom because, like, I would never be allowed to have that, first of all. And you ruined my whole house with that, with this,
Right.
like, a maze thingy tunnel that she has for a hamster, and having two, like, at one point you're just not
Two
allowed
big
to have a
dogs.
pet anymore if you're
Yeah.
gonna, if they're gonna keep dying on you. Like, she
You're
has her own pet cemetery.
right. I was just gonna say
It's
that.
awful,
It's awful.
but
It's
her
an
mom's
awful
cool
character.
that way, I guess.
Yeah.
I was like,
True.
that would never be allowed. After the first, like, after it dies once, like, you're never having a hamster. It's
You're
not for
never,
you.
no, never again. similar recommendations to Garden State.
Hold on, can we? I didn't actually think of anything. Is that weird?
Oh, okay.
There was nothing that really didn't really stick out to me so much. That
like in hipsterdom of movies, like the whole slew of hipster movies. There's 500 Days of Summer, I guess.
Because in comparison to other indie movies that I would say are sort of in the same dark romantic comedy drama, the characters are very into themselves.
Yeah.
So, like, the
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
like
Mind.
High Fidelity, he's so obsessed with himself. Even like Eternal Sunshine is a little bit self-obsessed, and Andrew Largeman is not. He's the complete opposite in a way.
But in terms of feel.
And feel.
And vibe. I think what's that movie that we were supposed to do? Lobster. Doesn't it kind of feel the same? Like, well, the certain gravitas of like darkness and, you know.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah,
but maybe. That was funny too. That was a comedy, right? Lobster.
I don't know. I thought it was like just dark humor.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I would compare it more for vibe reasons, probably Wes Anderson movies. But okay. but not as whimsical or whatever.
Yeah. Not as beautifully crafted too.
No.
Holy shit. Wes Anderson movies are like perfect.
I had my husband watch, we watched The French Dispatch together, and I told him, this is the format of all the movies.
He was like,
this is a film. Yeah. Like what people study.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Holy shit. Yeah. We'll discuss The French Dispatch later. But I haven't really finished it yet, though. I don't know why. I couldn't finish it the first time I watched it. I'll revisit that. But okay, here are some observations, or some recommendations, rather, from Wicker Park. Have you seen Wicker Park? I don't know. I kind of tie those films together. It's a Josh Hartnett film. That was more of a romantic drama, but they're from the same era, so it kind of feels the same. But under the same year, 2004 was a big year for movies. And I think a lot of these films, or a lot of my favorite films, are influenced primarily because of the time that they came out. A lot of my favorite films fall in 2004. The Notebook was in there. Before Sunset was 2004. The Butterfly Effect. Remember the Butterfly Effect? As imperfect as it was. Ashton Kutcher and all that shit. It was a good film. Donald
Ooh,
the
I
Dead
thought of
was
one.
In 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
Okay, it's a book recommendation, though. But I'm not sure if there's a movie about it.
Which one?
Veronica Decides to Die.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's a book, how I read it has a similar feel to it. And it's a little bit like she's just observing everybody. It's about a girl. It's written by Paulo Coelho.
Oh, yeah.
She's Brazilian. And it's about this girl who's suicidal, but she goes to rehab. I haven't read it in a really long time, but I remember the way it was written is a very observational type of deal, and I think that's what Andrew does basically when he goes home, is he observes everybody. And I guess also maybe Girl Interrupted, but that's kind of similar to Veronica Decides to Die, because they're both in like some kind of rehab psych hospital,
right? Well, if you like,
it's about mental illness too.
If you like Veronica Decides to Die, well, it's the same Coelho book, but 11 Minutes. I especially love that.
I bought that book and I've read it multiple times too.
Oh, this is a story about a prostitute.
Yeah.
Named Maria. Yeah. Yeah, that book has a lot of memorable lines, man. Like, sex is the art of controlled abandon. I just find it so sexy. You know.
Always. We always have like, the books that we're drawn to,
right? It's,
I have it in the Philippines.
Oh shit! Okay.
I think there was no one I was like brave enough to give it to. I'm sure it's in Manila. It's in my tiny cupboard or something.
So you still have a place in Manila?
Yeah, in Malate.
Okay, you're still paying rent for it?
No, my parents own it.
They have a house
so...
there. Oh, okay.
Like just a condo, like a. It was, I don't know. My family friend gave it to my parents as like a, it was a whole thing. So as a payment for something. So we
So who
took
lives
it.
there? That's
No
cool.
one. I lived there when I worked there, but it
Okay.
was kind of instead of getting a hotel, like we had a place to
Yeah.
stay if we needed to.
That's
We
good.
had to be in Manila.
Well, okay, and now I'm just and I'm just drawn to this. Like who maintains that condo since no one's there?
Well, when my mom goes home and she passes by Manila, she'll pass by and clean it
And
up. And
clean it.
then, yeah, like one of our friend's kids has, I'm pretty sure he still has a key in case we have to do anything there. But it's so small, it's tiny, it's just like a room, basically. And then, so there's nothing there. I made sure, like, there's stuff there that, like, we wouldn't care if it got lost or got destroyed. Like, I have clothes there, but I really wouldn't care if anything happened to it. I was gonna donate all of it anyway. So there's nothing there that's, like, really important.
Okay, because as a Filipino, we have our superstitions, right? Like
About.
the elders say that what if a house is not lived in for more than 6 months, someone else moves in, like a spirit or something.
My
They
family's not like that.
don't
It's
care.
we're not like that. I feel like that, yeah. It's weird
Yeah.
because anyway, it's a whole thing, but
It's a whole different
I always
conversation.
knew that my family, my immediate family has always been, we're like odd Filipinos. We don't follow the same superstitions about anything, and we have different rules about stuff too. And that's when I realized,
That's
like,
good.
yeah, even around the Filipinos that all like almost parallel how our lives were still super different traditionally and everything. So yeah, stuff like that was never instilled into me.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
You
no
know,
one ever instilled
superstitions
stuff
are
like that.
superstitions for a reason. It's just a
Yeah.
fun little cultural thing. But yeah, all right. So Hannah, we finally reached the end of episode 13. It's been a while. We're rough, but hey, thanks for sticking around, our listeners,
Of
if you're still
course, dude.
there.
Always happy to do these.
Right? And at this point, it's more about memories than it is movies,
It's our time to catch up anyway, and it just we don't care whoever listens in.
But we do have a few of our listeners have reached out, like, when are you gonna do a new one?
Really? Oh,
And
that's
yeah,
so
it's so
sweet.
sweet.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. And we actually popped out in a few of our friends as most listened to podcasts of the year. A few of them. There's Jess, which is Ray's wife.
Oh.
David is a friend from Kabankalan. He's friends with Jazer, oh no, with Sam and a few of our other friends.
Oh, great.
There's Mars. There's
Well, thank you guys. Oh
thanks
my
guys.
gosh.
We love you. We have our standard listeners to share. Chet Amor, Cheryl
Oh.
Amor, yeah.
Yeah,
We
shout
popped
out.
up on her Spotify,
Yeah,
like most
at least
listened to
your
podcast.
Instagram. She's like,
Right. She's
because
sweet.
I found out there's IKEA from her post that there's IKEA in the
In the
Philippines, and
Philippines.
I'm like, there's hope for the furniture, my furniture in my condo.
Right?
I can get new stuff.
Oh man. But hey, we appreciate you all. I appreciate you, Hannah. Oh,
Yeah,
any
me
final thoughts
too.
about the film? Do you have like a final conclusion that we want to say about this film? Would you recommend it still? Oh, hell yeah.
Oh yeah, highly recommend it. I mean, just if you're not too sensitive, gotta be careful. Like, because I
Yeah.
don't think it necessarily aged
Aged
well.
well,
I mean, we talked about this earlier. Natalie Portman, when it came out, was very, very nervous because they used the word retard a little
A
too
lot,
much
yeah.
and too freely. But
Yeah.
I personally, when used in the right context, I don't think it's offensive, but some people might. So, you know, it's a touchy subject too.
It's a timestamp from that period, right? So can't change it, but yeah. All right, so one thing I'd like to add to this film, though, we love it because we saw it in a particular period in of our lives, and we resonate with these characters a lot. But a quick search on the internet would show you, despite its 86% Rotten Tomato score, so very high score, a lot of people have turned around and hated this film. Like there's this article that came out in 2015, 11 years after the movie came out, that it's total trash. And reading through his essay, I just got the notion that he just grew up, and people probably hate this film because they hated who they were when they first saw it. And whenever they think of this movie, they remember themselves from that period and they hated who they were. So it's a film that Yeah, it just captures a particular moment in our lives. And there's some important conversations to be had here about over medication, about connection, about all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just a movie and we still like it.
Yeah, well
You
said. I
know.
feel like that's how like the what was that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
500 Days
500
of
Days of
Summer.
Summer, where like
Yeah, it didn't
remember
age
it
well.
like didn't age well 10
No.
years later. Yeah,
Right.
that's kind
No.
of what happened to this, I think,
The
as
template for
well.
that film actually came from this, some would say, because the manic pixie dream girl and all that.
Yeah, we didn't
Yeah.
talk about that
Right?
as much,
Maybe.
but I
It's
don't
a we've
know.
discussed it before. It's a trope that happened in film. Not as much anymore though, right?
Because everything has to be so woke.
Political, yes, a woke, woke culture.
Everything has to be politically correct and all that. I just remember though when it came out. Again, I'm like in fourth or fifth grade, but I went to our version of Blockbuster all the time, and this was the one movie I remember when it like got to DVD and got its translations and all that. It was always checked out. There was always only one copy left or
Oh, holy shit,
something.
okay.
Yeah, it was a really popular movie, and I remember anyone who mentioned it really did like it when it came out. Like,
Yeah. It's
it
so
was
hipster. It's so indie.
unique. It was unique, I guess, and it was something that resonated with a lot of people
Right.
at that who were at that age too. I mean, it didn't
Yeah.
resonate for me yet, but
No.
there was something
Do
so
you
attractive
remember?
to it.
Yeah. And it's just so, it wears its badge of being a hipster on its shoulder too much.
Yeah.
Like, so indie. And there were a few years ago, a lot of hate for that, for being emo and hipster. Right, but right now it's a resurgence of the emo, like holy shit, there's a When We Were Young concert, which is a celebration of the music we listened to 10 years ago. So yeah, you gotta own it, right? It's who you
Yeah.
are. Yeah, people will hate regardless.
100%. It's
Right,
not gonna be for everybody.
for sure. Are you
But
gonna
I
rewatch it
think,
anytime soon? I think I'll watch it
yeah, if
again
I
next
can
year.
find another copy of it, with my luck, it like they take it out of streaming sites right when I want to see it. So,
It's on Amazon Prime right now. Amazon Prime Canada.
not for me. Yeah, it said it
So,
was gonna be on there, but I didn't find it. So,
you know what you
you get to
need?
pay for it, no?
This
A
episode is
VPN?
sponsored by NordVPN. I'm kidding. I wish.
ExpressVPN, I wish.
ExpressVPN. Baka naman. All right. Hannah, I appreciate you. Listeners, we appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Yeah.
guys. Thank you, Red.
Thanks. Thanks,
And hope
Hannah.
have a good evening.
You too. We'll do this sometime again soon. Cheers,
Yeah.
guys. Bye, Anna.
Bye.